about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly. Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Guys, this is weed.
Yeah, we know.
Or grass, I think you folks called it
the other day. Yeah.
Okay. This is Hindu Kush, okay? And it will really open you up. The last time I smoked this, I came up with the term squeakquel.
Am I going to see the pig's face or what?
No.
He wears that in the studio?
No, they're not here. They do the show remotely.
What?
Yeah, they hate each other.
Oh.
The pig does it from his home studio up in Seattle, and Pete is in Los Angeles.
And now.
Kevin and Pete, they have a great show on K-Rock in Los Angeles. Don't you know?
Our feature presentation.
Only the highest quality music right there.
Why do I have to be the pig, by the way?
It's not our fault.
I didn't make that decision. You have to ask people.
I like that the pig does the show from his home in Seattle. I know. Thanks a lot, Mark Maron. Appreciate that.
Let's tell you. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It is the 8th of January.
What's going on, you guys?
I have a question for Lisa.
Yes. Right.
Well, I'm driving in, and it's 5 o'clock, and there's no traffic. Why do they do traffic reports? And then the traffic reporter comes on and goes, all right, everything looks good.
Yeah, I heard that this morning, too.
No slowing. And then they start listing freeways.
Yeah.
If you're on the 405, looks pretty good. The 101, good.
You and I were listening to the same person.
You know the answer to that. Though,
5 right? South, looks good.
Yeah, they've got a time slot they got to fill.
Yeah, they got a clock.
Oh, I didn't
and
know that.
And that particular person has about a minute she's got to fill, I believe.
Why?
Because they timed out their news.
Yeah, because they want to be able to do business at 10 and 40 or something like that, or sports at 15 and 45.
Make whatever story is more important a little longer.
It's already written.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Huh.
How do you not know this?
You're in radio.
The only thing I thought was because if it's sponsored, they have to do the commercial.
Well, that's true, too.
But that's another option.
But at that point, I would say, hey, no problems out there. Have fun. Commercial.
Right.
Move on.
Me too. Yeah. That's what I do. Right.
So,
because we're on the fly.
That's right.
I mean, that would make sense for our show, for instance, because it would give us more time to talk about other things or play music or whatever. But on a news station, all they have is whatever's coming up next on the clock. So they got to hit that.
That's weird.
It's like they're back timing all the time.
Right.
So there you go.
Okay.
All right. We have time for a quick story.
Sure.
I love urban legends, and I get confused sometimes as to which ones are actual urban legends, which ones are real. Like the one where you wake up in a bathtub full of ice in Las Vegas and your kidney's gone. That never has really happened,
that
right?
That's real.
That one is real?
Is it? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Is that what it is? The one where the spider gets into your body and gives birth and little spiderlings start crawling out of your skin. That one is fake. I know that one didn't. That one has never happened.
That's never happened?
It's never happened one time ever, but I know people are terrified of that one. Well, here's one that's in the news this week, and this is going to terrify many of our listeners. They will hear this story and wish that they had not, because they will be afraid for the rest of their lives when they sit on the toilet.
Oh, no.
Happened in San Diego on Tuesday. Vertical PR and Marketing is the place. It's an older building, built in 1886. Holly Wells and Stephanie Laska work there. They are the co-founders of the firm. One of them went into the toilet. I thought my eyes were deceiving me. She noticed that the water was pretty high in the toilet, and she thought maybe that there was a clog, so she got out the plunger to try to work on that, and she saw the flicker of a snake's tongue coming up out of the water. She screamed and ran. True story, by the way. She screamed and ran from the bathroom, slamming the door, and called the County Department of Animal Services. They showed up. The snake was identified as a Colombian rainbow boa. It was 5 feet long. This building, by the way, was at 5th and G in downtown San Diego. As I mentioned, it was an old building built in the 1880s. It was once City Hall. The handlers that came in noticed that the snake was a little bit underweight. It was shedding. It was also a little bit grouchy. It bit one of the handlers. The agency was able to catch the snake that was curled up behind the toilet when they arrived. So he did climb out of the toilet after the lady slammed the door and left the building, or left the bathroom. The snake will be taken to an animal care center for examination. If not located, will be given to a group with experience with boas.
Huh.
So the boa climbed into the sewer system at some point. Unclear how it got all the way up to, you know, the up into the building, into the toilet, or why. Was it trying to get out? What was it trying to do? But that's got to be close to the top of the list of people's actual worst nightmare when they sit down on a toilet, right?
Yes.
It's one that I fought my whole life.
Oh, really? You've legitimately had that?
Well, yeah. I think about it and I go, don't be stupid. And then I get past it. And then you bring in the story like this. Now it's going to take me another 2 years to talk myself out of it.
Guys, they didn't see a little frog. They didn't see a tadpole. They saw a 5-foot boa in the toilet. That's real. That happened.
Yeah.
So please enjoy your day.
Right.
Ladies are going to start to learn how to stand up when they pee.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why?
Because it's what we're about to do.
Why?
Dr. Drew will be on the program.
Why?
Must to ask him about the man with two penises.
Why?
Who we interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
We have an update on John Jones.
But I just want to know why.
Why, right?
Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Right. Jim Rome, talking sports.
Yes.
Why?
Have him every Thursday at about 8.
A lot of questions today.
A lot of whys. Speaking of irrational fears, well, what I thought was an irrational fear, which Bean has now proven is not irrational and I should be afraid of. We have a friend who won't fly. Not afraid to fly and hates to fly, won't fly.
Right.
Very different.
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know. Try and get to the bottom of that. And we have comedian Bob Saget.
Why?
Funny. It's coming up today. We'll take a break and then look at the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
It is Thursday morning. Ralph steps in. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. How you doing, Ralph?
I love when Mug shakes his head like the person he's talking to is the idiot.
Yeah.
He's all incensed.
In his defense, most of the time he's talking to me, and it might be true.
It isn't true. Trust
this
me.
Time.
That was a little inter-office miscommunication there with our boy Muggs, I think.
Well, Happy New Year. That's all I'm saying. I want to take a flamethrower to this place. That's all I'm saying.
What's the problem, Ralph? What's
something
going
new?
On?
Come on, man.
What happened?
Hey, I'm just saying. Everybody get their S together. Come on.
Why
step
now?
It up. Everyone's had a little vacation. Time to. It's a new year. Let's go.
I have bad news for you, Ralph. This is as good as we can do.
Get those knees up. Hit those holes. Hit the holes.
How do I do that?
I don't know what I'm
in radio.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
That's right.
That's the only guy that's making sense anymore.
Fix your watch while you're at it over there, will you? All right. Let me give something away to take the sting out of what is already a pee-poor broadcast. How about some tickets to the K-Rock screening of Black Hat?
Yay!
Brand new thriller starring Chris Hemsworth as a man released from prison to help American and Chinese authorities pursue a mysterious cyber criminal. Oh, I hate cyber criminals. I'm glad Chris Hemsworth's there to kick some cyber ass.
He certainly looks like an IT guy.
He does. Looks like all the guys who work here in the back room there with our servers. Hey, can I fix that for you? Black Hat is in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 16th. However, you, my delicious friends, we'll get to see it on January the 13th at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove. If you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through with that number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Black Hat.
Hey, can I get that new keyboard for you? Something wrong with your mouse? I'm going to catch that cyber criminal.
All right, let's talk showbiz. That's why we're here. Gloria Allred came out of her hole yesterday.
Because there were TV
we
cameras?
Got 6 more months of winter or something. saw her shadow. She presented, or trotted out, if you're a little cynical, 3 more women to accuse Bill Cosby of sexually abusing them. They were identified as Linda Kirkpatrick, Lynn Neal, and a woman who simply went by one name, Casey. Here are their stories. Casey claimed Cosby invited her over to his house to read a script when she was an assistant at the William Morris Agency. That scene contained a kiss, surprisingly, when she arrived to read the script, and he used that scene to force himself upon her. At another event, a business meeting at the Hotel Bel Air, Casey claimed she was drugged by Cosby and woke up hours later with Cosby naked beside her in bed.
Wow.
Linda Kirkpatrick said she met Cosby at a tennis club in Vegas back in 1981 when she was 25. She was invited to a party in his hotel room. He offered her a drink in which, you guessed it, she woke up hours later with Cosby on top of her, kissing her. Lynn Neal claims she went out to dinner with Cosby, also after meeting him at a tennis club, did a couple shots with Cosby, which he had ordered, and then she woke up and there was Cosby. She said she can't remember how she got home afterwards either. So,
is there a tote board anywhere we can look at to kind of keep track of the numbers
involved? Like at the telephone, you mean?
Yeah.
Just keep changing the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, what are we up to now? For reals?
It's got to be 25, 30.
Yeah,
between 25 and
30. Got to be.
Yeah. Speaking of Cosby, he did first of three Canadian appearances last night at Kitchener, Ontario. Protesters were outside, but inside, however, there were no interruptions to his show, and they say he got a standing ovation from his fans when he was done performing. This was his first live show, which hadn't been canceled, after receiving the sexual assault allegations. So he continues to work.
So those are sold just people house. Who don't watch the news, I guess.
I guess.
They just don't know about it.
Or don't believe.
Right, or they believe it's some conspiracy to tear down his legacy. Like Mrs. Cosby. John Travolta is in the news. He's returning to television after all these years. In his first starring TV role since Welcome Back, Kotter, more than 35 years ago, John Travolta will play famed attorney Robert Shapiro in the upcoming miniseries based on the O.J. Simpson trial, American Crime Story, The People v. O.J. Simpson, or verse, I guess.
Verse.
You know, if you're well-spoken.
Right.
People verse O.J. Simpson.
If you're well-spoken.
Yeah.
You know, this would have been, I'd have a completely different reaction to this a few years ago, but, you know, there's no shame in the game on TV anymore. I mean, the script is good, and it doesn't matter how famous or popular or Oscar-winning an actor you are, you take the role.
Here's the rest of your cast. Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J., Sarah Paulson as Prosecutor Marcia Clark.
Wow.
And David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian. Oh, OJ, why did you kill those people?
Sarah Paulson as Marcia Clark is great casting.
Yeah, that is good casting. It's going to be cool. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sarah Polley celebrates her 36th birthday today. Singer Jenny Lewis is 39. Singer R. Kelly is 48 years old. Hey, where are some freaking Trapped in the Closet chapters, R?
It's been a while.
How about getting on that?
Getting off your knees.
We'll have it next hour, Ralph.
Singer David Bowie is 68 years old today. I love Bowie.
I do too.
Stephen Hawking is 73.
Which is amazing.
Those two are partying together right now, I promise you. They're just hanging out, doing lines of blow up of Steve's chair.
With John Jones.
That's right, with John Jones. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
So who's cooler than Dave Grohl?
Who's cooler than Dave Grohl? Nobody.
I'm going to put forward nobody.
I'm going to put forward he's the coolest of all the cool. And he made a very surprise announcement yesterday afternoon that he and his band Foo Fighters are going to be kicking off 2015 with a gig at the Forum this Saturday night. Tickets went on sale last night at 7 o'clock. Have we checked lately? Have we found out whether it's sold out or not?
We've asked for that info, but we'll get it.
Tickets are just $50, by the way, to see Foo Fighters. The doors will open at 6 at the Forum on Saturday night. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. No opening act, so if you are going, do not be late. They are planning on making it an evening of rock and roll. It's Dave's 46th birthday, by the way, that day, Saturday. And he's giving a little something back because $10 per ticket is going to go to various charities around town. So, great time.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Tickets are still available.
Tickets still available, we were told. And you can call right now to the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a big Foo Fighters fan, you'll need to be to win this game. And you want a chance to earn your way in to see Foo Fighters at the Saturday. Call now. We'll talk to you coming up in about 10 minutes.
Big UFC fight. John Jones fought Daniel Cormier, UFC 182. And John Jones won pretty handily. Sorry, yeah, spoiler alert. Pretty handily.
I think that's safe. I think it's been a few days, and it's a live sporting event.
Good.
I'm sad for Daniel Cormier because I love him.
I do too.
He's one of my favorite fighters, and I love him when you have him on the show. But no one can beat John Jones. Is this the eighth time he's defended his title?
Yep.
No one can beat him. Now, the surprise about this fight is not just how handily Bones won the fight. It's that we found out afterwards that he had tested positive for drugs, but it does not affect the outcome of the fight because it was an out-of-competition drug, in this case, cocaine.
Yeah, he took a test on, let's see, the 4th of December. And then they made the announcement that it was positive on the 23rd of December. And then he thought, like, he fought, I think it was January 3rd.
Right, exactly.
So the results still stand, but he has since checked himself into a drug rehab.
Ah.
I don't know much about drug addiction. Muggs, I should ask you, how tough is it to come off cocaine?
How dare you? but it's hard. It's hard, yeah.
It's a hard one?
Yeah. It's a very addictive stimulant drug that a lot of people get addicted to. Yeah,
I wonder how long he's been doing it and how often. We asked Dave, could you find out some of these medical questions for us? I know we're talking to Dr. Drew about something else later on today, but we have Dr. Bennett Charles on the line from Peaceful Living Rehab, who can answer some of our questions for us. Hey, doctor, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Hey, no problem, man. How's it going? How you guys been, huh?
We're good. How are you?
Great. I'm good, too, man. You know, that guy you were talking to said cocaine is a very addicting drug.
Right.
A lot of people get addicted to it. He's
yes.
so right, man. He's so right.
Right.
Are you okay, doctor?
I'm great.
You're the guy running Peaceful Living Rehab?
Great.
Okay.
Great.
You don't sound like a guy who's doing any kind of peaceful living.
It's the name of the rehab, man. Of course it's peaceful living.
It is called peaceful living.
It is, yeah. You're damn right it is.
Okay. You're not on anything, doctor. You're sober, right?
What's that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was that?
I said you're sober. You're not on any drugs, right?
Of course I'm sober. What kind of rehab would it be if the guy ran the rehab wasn't sober?
All right. How do you go about beating the cocaine addiction?
Oh, it's tough. Tough. Cocaine's a tough drug to get. You know, it's not the stopping. It's the stopping.
It is the stopping.
Yeah. because the problem with cocaine is your body. You know, you get used to it, and you need more and more and more and more of cocaine to get the same feeling you got the first couple times you did it. You
right.
know, you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And the larger number of amount of cocaine that you take, the same high you get is directly connected to the amount that you take, and you're chasing. You're chasing your own tail. You can barely. Get the same high over and over again, and then your body starts breaking down, and it affects your heart and your circulatory system, and in the nature of the drug is because right. of the way it dilates right. your blood vessels. I mean, that's okay. exactly where the high comes from, and
doctor,
it affects
doctor.
Your brain and affects every part
Slow
of your body.
Down.
You just take it, and you take it, and you take, okay. it, and you take it, and then you can stop it. But the thing is, you want more. You want more of that feeling.
We're not in a hurry.
That feeling until you get it and 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 get it.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm great.
Our friend Bob Saget joins us in studio in about 25 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we want to help you out and send you to see Foo Fighters Saturday night at the Forum. Surprise show just announced yesterday. Tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster.com, or you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Win your way in with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
I think that's some of Omar's best work.
Yep.
Kevin, explain for our callers on hold, please, how this one works. What? What's so funny?
Well, just that Muggs did that. All right. We're going to play Just a Second, the very first second of a song. You just have to tell us what song it is. Of course,
that sounds easy.
It does sound easy. It's not quite as easy as it sounds, but a lot of people will probably get it.
If you're a Foo Fighters fan, you know their music when it comes on K-Rock. You'll recognize the first note of the song.
Just a Second!
Oh, Omar's the best. All right,
he is good.
Who's up first?
Let's start in Maywood with Lorenzo. Hi there.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, Lorenzo. Hello. Where the hell is Maywood?
Maywood. It's a little south of East L.A.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Welcome to the show. You know how the game is played. We play it for them how many times, Kevin? Twice?
Two times.
Tell us what Foo Fighters song this is. You'll hear just a second.
One more time.
Times Like These.
Well done.
Nicely done.
That, my friends, is how Lorenzo just won tickets to see Foo Fighters Saturday night. Well done, sir.
Here's the way I would play this game. Oh, my God, I've heard that song 5 million times. What's the name of it? That would be me. All right, let's go to Stephanie in Glendale. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, very good this morning.
All right, here you go. We're playing
Just a Second.
Here's Foo Fighters. One more time.
Oh, my God, I have heard that song a million and one times. Is it, This is a call. It's Big Me.
No. Sorry, it's Rope.
That was called Rope. Nice try, though, Stephanie. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Steven in Palmdale. Hi, Steven.
Hey, what it do?
What it do to you as well?
That is a great question, Steven. I'm glad you asked that. All right, listen up. Just a second. What Foo Fighters
song?
Shut up, Omar. What Foo Fighters song is this?
One more time.
Monkey Wrench?
Yes! Nicely done. Monkey Wrench.
Steven is in, along with Lorenzo. He won his Foo Fighters tickets again on sale now through Ticketmaster. Who's next?
By the way, these are not, this is not a drawing. You win tickets.
You're in. You got it.
We're going to San Clemente and Chad. Hi there.
Hello.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here's your song. One more time.
One last time.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Sorry.
How about a guess? If you don't know, just guess.
It sounded like a blown-out speaker to me.
Yeah.
Is your guess blown-out speaker?
No, that's not my guess.
All right, guess a Foo Fighters song.
We got to move on.
Okay.
A title of a song.
Yeah, this is the last one. Yes, it was the last one.
We played Monkey Wrench twice in a row. It just sounded different each time. All right. That was a DOA, just like your chances of going to see the show Saturday night.
Ooh, you burned him. Raul and Downey.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Raul.
I'll tell you what's up.
Just a second!
You ready for your Foo Fighter clue?
Yep.
Here you go. One more time. By the way, this was much easier than the last one.
Oh, my. No, I'm just playing. All My Life?
He's messing with us.
He is.
Nicely done. You got tickets.
Oh, you're going to have a fun time, Roll. Thanks for calling. All right, we got time for a couple more, I think.
All right, let's go to Paige in Newport Beach. Hi, Paige.
Hi, good morning.
I would like to put forward that I believe Paige is a name that is added to the list of all girls with that name are hot. Can I get a second on that?
I don't know what, because I don't know anyone named Paige.
How about Paige that we're talking to on the phone right now? How hot does she sound in Newport Beach of all places?
All right, take it easy, but I'd go pretty hot.
Paige is always hot, right?
Always hot.
That's my opinion.
Take it easy, Paige.
All right, let's play the game.
You're not getting a date with her.
I'm not trying to get a date. I'm just saying it's awesome that we have hot listeners.
All right. Here you go, Paige. Twice.
I've got enough.
One more time.
I've got enough.
The Best of You.
Nicely done.
I've got another confession to make.
And they're smart, too. Pages are smart.
Take it easy, man. What's up? Mike in Northridge. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you. We're playing just a second. You ready?
I'm ready.
One more time.
Everlong.
Oh, man, he jumps the gun. Nicely done.
All right, got time for one more. Tickets for Foo Fighters again. Surprise show at the Forum is going to be Saturday night. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. Just $50 with $10 of that.
We are done. I believe we gave away all five pair.
So thanks for playing. Just a second.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I miss Paige. It's good. That was fun.
What's wrong with you? What happened there? Did you hear that, Rob?
Yes, it's the creepy meltdown.
There was nothing creepy about saying that girls named Paige are attractive.
That's not what you said, though.
That is what I said.
No, you're right.
That's exactly what I said.
Hot. Like, especially this one on the phone right now. She's hot, isn't she? Oh, and she's smart. It was like the China syndrome. It was just a creepy meltdown to the center of the earth.
I just felt like we had a connection. That's all.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I thought it would be rude to ignore the obvious sexual tension that was going on in the room.
Oh.
Hey, speaking of sexual tension, how about Bob Saget joining us in studio right after the top of the hour? Jim Rome on the program later on today, and Dr. Drew talks about his interview with the man with two penises. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of sexual tension, some people are sensing it between Shia LaBeouf and Maddie Ziegler. You may know Maddie Ziegler. She is just a little... tiny little girl who's the star of Dance Moms, the reality show. And then she went on to make a big splash in Sia's Chandelier video.
Isn't she 12?
She's the 12-year-old girl in the blonde wig who's dancing around in the Chandelier video very oddly.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a new video now, a new Sia song called Elastic Heart, which features her and Shia LaBeouf in a cage having a violent dance-off with each other. And some people say it's too suggestive and is citing concerns of pedophilia. for the two dancers as they dance off against each other.
Kevin, you watched this video. What was your takeaway?
My takeaway was, wow, that I don't like watching this.
You were uncomfortable because of the age of the girl?
Yeah. It was sort of suggestive, and I don't want to throw that in there if it's not meant to be there, but watch the video. It's a little creepy.
But it's hardly suggestive. Yeah. If anything, it's more adversarial than it is sexual or romantic.
Yeah.
It's supposed to signify the two warring sides of Sia's personality going at each other inside this cage, and I think that certainly is what's conveyed.
Yeah, I'm not saying definitely that's the thing. I'm just saying it made me feel a little creepy.
I think people are looking for creepy.
That's possible.
Because, anyway, she's apologizing if anyone got that impression. It is not at all what she intended. Many have praised the clip for its art, its emotion. However, other people are just wigging. They be wigging.
We work with Uncle Creepy, so maybe we're a little more attuned to that.
Yeah.
I apologize to those who feel triggered by my Elastic Heart video. My intention was to create some emotional content, not to upset anyone, Sia stated. All I can say is Maddie and Shia are the only two actors I felt could play these two warring Sia self-states, she writes about the video, which she co-directed. So stop looking for creepy, people.
Here's what I like about Shia LaBeouf. What is he doing?
Whatever he wants to do.
Every time something comes out.
Whatever he
you
wants
that,
to do.
I asked that question. What's going on?
He's doing what he wants to do. There is, as off the rails as I feel he goes sometimes, I am envious of his complete lack of concern for his career choices.
Yeah, I can see that.
He just goes, I'm going to run a marathon around this building. While they have an art installation inside, I'm going to carry a torch and run my own marathon. I mean, he's just a loon. At first, I thought he was desperately seeking attention, and I think there's still some elements of that to it. But I also think he is just a complete id and no ego. You know, he just whatever.
So it's all artist.
Whatever.
Artistry.
I don't know about artistry. I mean, that's a pretentious thing to say about anyone. But it seems like he just goes where his heart follows. Or follows where his heart goes, rather. He just says, that feels right to me, and he just goes off and does it without much forethought. I think there's a certain freedom that comes with that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's called insanity. Miley Cyrus just can't stop oversharing. I wish she would.
Yeah, don't we know enough about her?
Too much. She suffered a bloody nose this week and immediately said, oh, well, this needs to be Instagrammed. So she posted a photo of the blood running down her face and all over her hands.
All right.
It's enough. Enough of her, right? Got enough of her.
Too much information.
Much information indeed. And Jared Leto is trying to convince us that there's an old standby, an old-fashioned standby that is coming back, if you believe his website. He's got a merchandise website called jaredletomerch.com.
Okay.
And on it, he is selling a $32 fanny pack. That's right. He's on the front page of his website modeling the fanny pack. Of course, he is topless, flexing his abs with his perfect hair blowing in the desert breeze. However, he is wearing a fanny pack, which he calls his hip pack.
Sure.
It's not a fanny pack. It's a hip pack. But the thing is, it's totally a fanny pack. And it's available in blue, black, or gray. And for $32, you can get the Jared Leto hip pack.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Ralph. I ran into him at Coachella. He was just walking the grounds at Coachella. Mm-hmm. And he had a fanny pack on. I made fun of it. I said, Jared, seriously, a fanny pack. And he said these words, which we've said many times. It's coming back, man.
Well, if he has anything to do with it.
Hey, Rogan's going to get the last laugh on this one, you guys.
It's a hip pack, by the way. It's not
it's a
fanny
pack. My bad.
And by the way, people never even wore fanny packs on their fannies.
No,
yeah,
they
I don't
never
know why.
Was.
It's true.
You're right.
It's a belly pack.
I think initially it was meant to be worn back there, and that's why it became the fanny pack. But almost instantly, people started wearing it around their bellies instead, right? And now it's on the hip because it's the hip pack.
But haven't we heard from those who are willing to accept the scorn that there are times, like when you're traveling, when you've got a bunch of stuff you need to take with you, that the fanny pack really is pretty useful.
I never really quite understood how it fell out of favor.
You think it makes a lot of sense?
Because
I don't women have a purses.
Ass about fashion one way or the other, but it seems like it's enormously helpful to have an extra big-ass pocket right there at your fingertips to hold your stuff in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know Dave the King of Mexico wears one, and I always make fun of it because it always strikes me as funny.
But why would...
I don't know.
Why is it bad? I don't understand. I don't understand why people would make fun. What?
I just go, ha, fanny pack.
But where's the downside of it? What are you making fun of there?
I'm not sure.
What's wrong with you?
And the other part of that is, who should be laughing at fashion less than me?
That's a good point.
I mean, Kevin, it seems to me like you actually would be a pretty good choice for fanny pack because you hate like putting a wallet in your back pocket.
You put everything in your pocket.
I do. That's why we're
You could just put a fanny shorts. Pack and just yeah. put everything in your fanny pack.
All right, maybe I'll rethink my entire fashion.
You can take all your crumpled up $100 bills that you carry around to buy everything with and just stuff them in the fanny pack. Along with your yo-yo and your jacks and your Super Bowl and your twine. And your paper clips and all the other stuff you have in your pocket, you just put it in the fanny pack.
It does seem a little more convenient.
I think practicality trumps fashion every time. So I can't believe it ever fell out of favor. So
you've
I say,
got that,
go,
that,
go ahead,
that pack. $5 Amazon.com gift card burning a hole in your pocket. Maybe you can use that for a fanny pack.
I got that email yesterday from Bean. It was just one of the funniest things to say. Because they put $5 like it was the grand prize
like
of all time.
Like you won the lottery.
A huge
lottery.
Number.
Yep.
$5.
Merry Christmas, $5.
Some of us got $500.
Dude, that still stinks. That still hurts from yesterday.
Bean didn't get his Christmas shopping done, so we put a bunch of numbers on a wheel. We spun it, whatever it landed on. It was an Amazon gift card for that amount. So that happened yesterday.
I'm buying everybody fanny packs with my $500 gift card. Beer Mug got a $1,000 gift card.
He did.
What's he going to do with that kind of money? What did you spend the money on there, Beer Mug, for that $1,000 you got?
If cheap-ass Bean would only give it to me.
If your name was Paige, he'd give it to you.
He would.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sarah Polley is 36 years old today. A little dyslexia there. Jenny Lewis, 39. R. Kelly's 48. Legendary icon David Bowie, 68 years old today. Stephen Hawking is 73. They thought he'd be dead by the time he was 30, by the way.
That's crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah, I saw that movie, Reese, over the holidays. And when he gets the diagnosis about the ALS, they say, you got 18 months to live.
Yep. 73 years
old. And he was what, 29 or something?
Yeah, low to early 20s,
yeah,
still in college.
He was doing graduate work when he was in his 20s when he got the diagnosis.
Incredible. Incredible. Medical miracle.
And actress Rachel Nichols celebrates her 35th birthday today. Are you on her or off her these days, Bean?
I love Rachel. Wish her nothing but the best.
He's off even when he's on.
You wish her nothing but the best. Did you consciously uncouple?
No, we're fine. We're good.
He invited her to acoustic 1 year, two, 3 years ago.
Right.
And I saw her, so I went over and said hi, and I said, where's Bean? And she's like, he left. She was just sitting there. I was like, okay, odd. I guess I'll stay here for a second because this is awkward.
Invite someone to something and then leave them there.
Left.
You're a charmer. You're a modern-day Cary Grant.
You get my full attention right up until 7:30.
Jeez. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Bean.
All the ladies want to make him a spouse. When it comes to downstairs, he's got a full house. He's
been arrested 20 times, never been convicted. If you see a badass, guaranteed he's kicked. But gonna start some leash, he'll end it quick. Like Martha Stewart with a bigger dick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 5 big shows at the Ontario Improv this weekend. Go to improv.com, just $25. I like to think of Bob as the white Bill Cosby, and here he is on K-Rock.
That's so sweet. Thank you. And I have a briefcase with all kinds of pills that I bring to the show.
You did bring us drinks. I noticed that.
And like a coffee.
I actually brought you copies of my best-selling book in paperback form. Dirty Daddy, a New York Times bestseller, because I haven't had anything major to sell since last time I was here. So
thank you for that, Bob.
Yes,
very thoughtful.
Each one has a cut-up compartment where I keep my pills that I give you, that I knock you out, and then I give you wine.
By reading the book, we pass out?
That's how riveting it is.
Is that your plan?
That's after about 300 words. Yes, the automatic response is
pass out. Did you ever cross paths with Mr. Cosby?
I did, and he was nothing but nice to me as he held my head down. But he was a good guy. There's nothing I can say bad about him.
You were as shocked as the rest of us, right?
A bit and not. It's just I've been around the business a long time, as I say, and, you know, stuff happens and you kind of turn an eye to it like, oh, that's the Tony Soprano way of behaving in stand-up comedy. That's that guy.
You also don't know what's true and what's not true, right?
No, you don't.
There's a lot of info out there. And you just
You can't put everything together just because CNN has totally already put everybody hung out to dry by putting in a great montage. I want to compliment their fine work of all the women that they cut together with one long sentence of pills and briefcases. But the only thing I take any kind of issue is having to talk about it on your show.
Yeah, yes, well, I understand. Okay. Well, I was just curious because, you know, you've been in comedy a long time. I felt like you might have crossed paths. So.
But we all know you as one of the greatest comedians that
Absolutely.
Has ever done it. And then it's incredibly upsetting to watch something, a father figure of sorts.
There's a game called Trivia Crack that I was unfamiliar with until this week. Apparently, it's a phone game that you play where you answer, you know, multiple choice trivia questions.
I'm glad that's what it is because mine went to a different place.
Yeah, me too. In the history. Here's a history card that came up this week that a lot of your fans were tweeting about, Bob, which is who assassinated Abraham Lincoln? And the answers that one can choose from are John Wilkes Booth, which I believe is correct, by the way, James Earl Ray, Mark David Chapman, and Bob Saget. Those are the choices.
I'm honored.
Who assassinated Abraham Lincoln?
I'm shocked that Mary was not nominated because she took him to the play in the first place. So
how did that happen, do you suppose, Bob?
I don't know. I guess it becomes you become part of pop legend. You get me in at 6:30 in the morning and I'm going to be crack on. that it was just, you know, part of pop culture and they thought that would be a funny addition to it. I guess.
Which it was.
And, you know.
I would have guessed that.
Have you ever
said it right to me? I know that dude. Yeah.
Have you seen the show ever? The show that he was watching?
Crack of Funny or whatever that is? No.
Well, what was the name of the show that Lincoln was watching?
Oh, Lincoln. Oh, what play did he go to? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would have been a good trivia question.
Oh, Calcutta, I think.
I doubt that. It doesn't sound right to me.
Maybe Into the Woods. I just watched that with my kids.
Yeah.
Into the Woods. That's a big nominating thing. People love that.
Is it a musical?
It sure is.
It's okay. Way a musical. Yeah. It's the Stephen Sondheim, right?
Children are people. Giants are people.
What does a comedy star like Bob Saget do on New Year's Eve?
I had a very, very nice New Year's Eve. I went away with a lady who is a woman.
Oh.
It's a proclamation.
Bob gets a lot of first dates for those who don't follow his dating career.
No, not first dates, but they've not always been considered by outsiders as, appropriate.
Full-grown adults. Sure.
Full-grown, and this is, you know.
There's a line where a girl becomes a woman.
And that's sure. When you wax their lip.
Where do you take a lady on New Year's Eve? Where'd you guys go?
We went to Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, we didn't go to Mexico. We went to a drug den, and it was called Mexico.
Mexico.
But it's right by Fedco.
At midnight, when midnight struck, what were you doing?
I was digging up the evidence from the night before. Mm-hmm. No, I was actually, we were walking. We were late for New Year's. It was a beautiful beach, and we were hearing 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As we walked up the steps, it was like a scene out of a, I don't know, The Bachelor or something horrendous, but maybe something like ballroom dancing that someone would enjoy. And I took her in my arms, and only one of them works now. I had a stroke, so we spin around. And then we kissed, and fireworks were going off right behind her, because that's why I pushed her right over to where all the detonators are.
Good.
You might as well get credit for what's happening anyway. That has nothing to do with you.
It makes it look
like you were thoughtful.
Yep, and we weren't going to Yelp about it. They knew that because we got some free stuff, like food and stuff.
Sure.
So we had this romantic time, walked down to the beach, looked at the ocean. Fireworks are still going off. All the families were dressed in white. Doesn't matter what size they are, how big or small. It's like being on a cruise if you're on we were at a nice resort in Mexico.
Okay.
So if you're there and
you have to dress a certain way?
No, but they all did. They all looked like they joined some old church choir. They looked all cute and all their white, and it still can't hide their girth. But,
and that's what's important.
Is don't hide the girth. Be honest about it. And we, it was just very romantic. It was really nice. And
well,
then,
good for you, Bob.
Yeah.
It's the 8th of January. Have you texted or talked to this person since?
Yes, she's
okay.
You want more information?
That's good for me. I just wanted to make sure.
We were just surprised it lasted that long.
Well, that's just also a new relationship.
That's a week. I mean, that's a week later and you're still talking to her.
Well, we're in hummingbird years. So this is like, 3 months is a long relationship. So
absolutely.
And I've just been trying to come up with new material because I really want to do stand-up in a way that kind of changes the mold of what people think I am.
Is that seems that seems incredibly difficult.
It is, because it's only I keep coming up with things that are relevant, that make sense, and then my penis just interrupts the writing that I'm doing. He somehow wanders into the
I remember you almost burned your penis off with your laptop when you were writing the book.
I did.
You're saying it's continuing to cause you problems in your
life.
Well,
that has healed. There's a TARDIS shell cover on it for a while. I got a lathe, and I got it down to a normal soft tissue, what you want.
Probably
you want.
Enough detail on that.
What do you want my penis to be?
Bob, you seem like a guy who, no matter how much prepared material you walk onto the Ontario Improv stage with this weekend, you're only going to get to about 30% of it, because you've got the ADD, and you always think of something else and then go off on another tangent in another direction for 20 minutes.
And that's a compliment and an insult, because I've been trying, not from you, by the way, for myself, I've been trying to grow and stay on one some area, mm-hmm. and not go off on these tangents, which can be a 12-minute journey, which is fun for some audiences, but you want to stay on a line.
So yeah, I feel like you need to shoot a little lower, something maybe you can accomplish. Serious ADD.
You're talking another career?
No.
You wouldn't be the first to suggest that, Kevin.
I ain't flying the plane to get there. You're saying do a show with no tangents.
I'm saying I'm not sure that's possible. Because of the way your mind works.
For other people, I've done it.
Yeah.
Someone else's material. I work the lines. I learn it. I do the play, and everything's fine. Nobody gets hurt.
Okay.
With me, there's not that many people to be afraid of at the Ontario Improv. The problem you have to be afraid of is there's with two drinks, you also have the 2-meth minimum. I mean, it's I think it's the capital. I think it's a big dental business there, because their teeth are made of rubber.
I am fascinated, though, as long as you've been doing stand-up, which even predates your acting years, that you still are working so hard to develop an act and improve. That's very impressive, Bob.
Well, I love making people laugh, and I love proving to myself that I'm not a three-trick pony of the same thing. I'm not this, I'm not this, and then here I am with 9 full house jokes, you know? It's just kind of an artist in progress, I would like to think. The last special I did was called That's What I'm Talking About, and that was it was fairly received. It was on Showtime, Netflix. It got nominated for a Grammy.
And now all that material's gone? You don't do it?
I kind of do a couple songs, but not really. I mean, the songs are something that kind of people want to hear anyway. Yep. So I do that. That's like the entertainment. I used to watch Harry Chapin as a kid, and he was just a crowd pleaser with the audiences.
Good pull.
And
no, seriously, for our audience, good pull.
I
don't know who that is.
No one does.
Okay.
But it had a Springsteen kind of wannabe thing to it, or a Billy Joe kind of thing to it, where you get the whole audience involved in something you're doing, and you make them do it, and you bound them and gag them and read 50 Shades of Grey to them, and you put a ponytail on them. What were you going to say?
Exactly. Sure. You see my point right there with what's going on in Bob's head. You can see the work in progress on stage at the Ontario Improv. 5 big shows this weekend. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then the Sunday night at 7. Show tickets available at improv.com. More with Bob when we return right after this on K-Rock. I couldn't call him the great Bob Saget unless it were true, and you can see him on stage at the Ontario Improv. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and again Sunday night. Tickets available through improv.com. Just $25, 21 and up. By the way, Bob, we're talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky later on today. He did an interview on a CNN show with the man with 2 penises.
Right.
You heard about this guy?
Yeah. Were there 3 mics on the set?
2 fully functioning penises this guy has. If you had the chance to switch places with that guy, would you do it?
No.
For a day or for your life?
He's enough trouble with one.
Yeah, I'm a multitasker as it is, and that's very difficult.
Can you imagine his act if he had 2?
Well, what do you do with 2, and are they both functional?
Yes,
and completely functional.
According to him, they are.
So there's one lucky lady who gets some nasty stuff done, or she brings in a friend, or he's doing something to one of them while...
Yeah, I don't know.
I just want to know who's making love to your old lady while you were out making love.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Another reference that no one will know.
I appreciated it very much.
Well, that's why I texted you for lunch.
You're in Mexico, and when you're not making sweet love at midnight on New Year's Eve, you're doing what? What do you do? What kind of touristy things did you do down there?
Well, it's a lovely place. You ride your bike, and there's a banyan tree. Now, these are the famous banyan trees from Zelda, the video game, so you know they're real.
Sure.
And it's underneath it, there's bats. You get to go in the cave, and there's bats, and they put lights up, and it's a tourist trap. And there's an old man outside, a prospector type, as you'd expect.
This sounds like you're being lured to your death.
It felt like it. I even Instagrammed it because I was going to send it to my kid because I thought, hey, I love you. You know, I thought,
last chance you're going to hear from me.
I'm not going to die. It's a tourist trap. That's how I'm thinking. Get down there. It's pitch black. I'm just trying to turn on my light on my iPhone.
Right.
Just trying to hit the light app.
The flashlight, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't go on, and I fall in the drink. I fall basically into a well, into a shrimp boat-filled well.
Did you fall down into a well or just...
Well, not really.
Sort of the same level.
I think the geekiness quotient fell in, and I was about in 2 feet of water.
Okay.
But you can drown in that.
Yeah.
And you can have...
It's difficult, but you could.
You could, okay. And you could be held down, and you could be shot once you were in it.
Right.
But, and it's Mexico, so no one would ever even find the body.
Nobody would care, but the resort might, because they've been making some dough off of me.
Okay.
The guy didn't have a headset. He's like, oh, this happens to everyone. And it's happened to me many times. And I look at him, he's my age. He was right. It happened to him many times. I mean, the guy did not look good. And
so
my girlfriend
you're
excited.
You're in water, though. You're in water in a... pretty dark cave with bats. I mean, that sounds like a potentially pretty frightening situation.
It does, and they don't attack, according to what I've heard. Bats don't attack unless you fall, and then they attack.
That's an international signal for come get me? What are they, buzzards?
If you're stupid and you fall, yeah, and your light doesn't work. If the light, you know from watching horror movies, you shine that on the bat.
Let me back up just a second.
Absolutely.
You went into a cave
at
night with bats.
No, it was daytime.
Okay, it doesn't matter then.
Still dark in the cave.
Still dark. Were there no lights? Why
were
you looking for your flashlight?
There were little yellow lights along the wall.
But not enough to really...
That are comforting for bats. they're like hookers, like a red light. Bat likes an orange light.
Okay.
If it's a hooker bat, it must be very confusing. And I never want to meet a hooker bat.
Maybe they have both.
They could have both.
Yeah.
It could be a bat with two penises, for all I know. And you know what I do? I book another vacation if I see one of those.
So did somebody come
and
help
you? And where
do you
tie the message to save you? On a carrier pigeon, you tie it on the foot. What if it's a bat with two penises? What do you tie your save me message to? Which of those items?
That's a ridiculous question. So how were you rescued, Bob? Were you able to right yourself under your own power? Did someone have to come pull you out?
Well, the rescue happened pretty quickly. I got up.
Well, that was a dramatic story.
I was soaking wet, and there was blood coming from the top of my knee, which is where it started, all the way down to my ankle, and it was open. You know, didn't need stitches, which made me a wuss. If you don't need stitches, then you shouldn't be complaining about it.
Yeah, agreed.
Then he takes me over to a fountain outside, which is carved out of beautiful statues of other people that have fallen past.
And that's who it is. And former dead tourists.
And they're spouting some kind of water, and they're continual. We have a water drought kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I sprayed off all my area. I didn't touch my leg, just my
knee?
Area. And I cleaned it up, and apparently I had no parasites, and I didn't get a tetanus shot. And what am I going to do?
So you're fine.
I'm fine. It was a memory that will live forever. And then we rode our bikes to the beach and had like margaritas and saw chips.
Are you positive you didn't have margaritas before the cave?
I just went to Universal and watched one of their Mexican rides. I've never been to Mexico.
Hey, Bob, listen, we're almost out of time. We appreciate that you're here. We love you. We love seeing you. Thank
but
you
I,
for the gifts.
I got up so early.
I know. But I wanted to ask, and forgive me if this has been asked of you a million times, but are you going to be in the Entourage movie?
I am. I did a cameo in the Entourage movie, and it's something that is on the flip side of what I did a lot of cameos in the original series, which was, you know, my daughters. Don't mess with my daughters is
right.
What I was saying. This is kind of the flip side of that. This is just...
You have played yourself on other people's TV shows more than almost anyone that I can imagine.
I actually have found out that I play myself just as a cameo more than people play their character.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly believe that because you look at the number of shows that you have been in where you have played Bob Saget. I mean, everything from Ellen to Louie to, you know, Legit to, I mean, it's crazy how many times people want you to be yourself.
Well, on Ellen,
maybe they know you can't act, maybe.
I played Ellen on herself. I did.
Didn't see that.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't on it. Right. No, it is not a joke.
Okay.
This is why I like you and why we must go to lunch, because you do question, is that a joke? I don't understand.
Which is the question every comedian loves to hear.
Yeah, it's everyone's favorite. You know, bad. You used to be funny. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
Or my favorite show was where you're the daddy dad. I heard a lot of that in Mexico.
Really?
We watch it with
our children. Call you the daddy dad?
Yeah, and they have a Spanish guy do my voice, and so I've never spoken Spanish. I don't speak well, and it's like, oh, Michelle.
That's the voice that they put in you?
Yeah, tiny little thing.
That's
without,
awesome.
He learned through Berlitz. But, but thank you guys for helping me. I just came on here to talk to you guys, and then there's a plug date, but I brought you paperbacks of Dirty Daddy with your name.
Bob's
on
book
them.
Is very, very good, by the way. If you are at all interested in Bob and or show business and or comedy and or how to survive all of your family dying around you, you should definitely pick up Bob's book. It's really, really well written.
Thank you. I'll read it to you. I'm going to call you tonight and read you the whole thing.
Yes. And Ontario Improv, 5 big shows this weekend. Please go to improv.com. Tickets available now, just $25. Bob, Happy New Year, man. Thanks for coming in.
Happy New Year. I always love seeing you guys more than you will ever know. And Kevin, we're going to lunch. I just texted you. It's happening.
Nope. Jim Rome talks sports in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show, including talk that Los Angeles might host an upcoming Summer Olympics. Have to find out if Romy thinks that's a good idea on the way. Plus, keep on listening to K-Rock all morning long on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the week to win your two-day VIP passes to Shaun White's Air and Style at the Rose Bowl and lift tickets for Bear Mountain. Details at K-Rock.com.
Here's how you know that maybe you should reconsider some of your life decisions. You're in a bar on Christmas Day.
Okay.
No, that's it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it.
Set and match.
I mean, that's really enough. But Dustin Diamond, who, of course, played Screech on Saved by the Bell, was in a bar on Christmas Day with his rodeo clown girlfriend.
That's right, yes.
Ended up stabbing a dude.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, got arrested, has a court date. Second degree recklessly endangering safety, disorderly conduct, and carrying a concealed weapon.
Hey, he's lucky it's not assault or attempted murder or any number of other rather serious charges.
Yeah, no kidding. Apparently there was two other guys and a girl in there. A lot of people in this bar. A sad little bar on Christmas Day.
It's very sad.
And they were taking too many pictures, and his rodeo clown fiance was upset, and then it all just went south.
Well, he's out on $10,000 bail, and I guess when we go to court, we'll find out from witnesses what happened. But we actually have a man on the inside in Wisconsin, the Grand Avenue Saloon. His name is Paul Soglin, and he joins us now. Hey, Paul, how are you, sir?
Hey, good. How you doing there, eh?
We're good.
We're fine. You are what, the owner, bartender, manager, what, at the Grand Avenue?
Yeah, I'm the full-time manager and bartender here.
Okay, and were you there in the night in question, Christmas, with Dustin Diamond?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to not have the Christmas shift. That's a good one right there.
The Christmas shift is good?
Oh, yeah. Big money on the Christmas shift. You know, if anyone's going to be working that one, it's me, don't you know?
Wow. All right. I'm surprised by that. And I know that Dustin Diamond, he's lived in Wisconsin for many, many years. But is it still a big deal when he comes in, being a one-time famous TV star?
Oh, hell sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. For corn's sake, when Screech walks in, everything stops. You're like, hey, what the heck? There's Screech, don't you know?
People still say that, huh?
Sure they do, because look, you know, we're a small town in Wisconsin, you know? We're not out there, you know, in big-time Hollywood like you fellas, you know, hanging out with Bob Saget and those fellas.
Yeah, this is Port Washington, Wisconsin. So small, I don't even know where it is. So Screech comes in, and he's with his lady friend, and then what happens? Yeah. Were you able to see what went down?
Well, he was there with Amanda, his girlfriend. You know, she's a clown, don't you know?
She's a clown, yeah.
Yeah, she can, she can make a balloon animal out of a condom. that's to entertain us here at the bar. She'll go into the men's room and, put a couple quarters into the machine and pull out a condom and make it like a giraffe. It's nuts.
That is a nonstop party at your bar.
That is a giraffe that's ribbed for her pleasure. And so they're there, and, you know, some people are taking pictures of them, don't you know? And I think they got a little cheesed off about it. Mm-hmm. No pun intended, you know, we're the big cheese people here.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, go Pack, right?
Oh, go Packers. Hey, kill that Tony Romo, huh? How about breaking his back? How about that? I like that so much.
I don't know. I don't think
we're going to get violent here.
I want him in a wheelchair by the end of the game. How about that?
No. Just a win would be fine for Green
Bay. How about death? I would go for death.
All right, so we're off topic. So some people are trying to take pictures of Dustin Diamond,
yeah,
and then
the girl Amanda, she's a professional clown, don't you know?
Right, we know she's a clown.
Yeah, she got upset about all the pictures they were taking, and she got into a scuffle. And the next thing you know, Screech is stabbing a guy. What a knife. And, you know, you expect that kind of behavior from A.C. Slater, but not from Screech. I mean, A.C. the brown one, you figure he's stabbing people left and right. But,
that's inappropriate.
Like,
oh, how dare you? Come on. All right, so in your...
What kind of name is Slater, by the way, for that kid? Why isn't it like Gomez or Alvarez or something?
I can't address...
Slater. Doesn't look like a Slater to me.
I don't know anything about how that works.
I'm confused. Ned Belding, what was up with him? He was creepy.
So in your opinion, Mr. Diamond intentionally knifed that guy. This was not an accident. This was not a slip of the hand. That's what he was going for, as far as you could see.
Well, I got the sense that he intended to stab the guy when he opened up his knife and plunged the knife into the guy's chest.
That was your sense?
That was my indicator that maybe that was intentional. Yeah.
So that's how you read that behavior.
It sure does. You know, when someone pulls out their pocket knife, this wasn't a switchblade neither, by the way. This thing had to be opened. It took him a good 20, 40 minutes, I think, to get it open. He had a load on, don't you know?
That's okay. Long time to open a knife.
And he said, oh, stay right there. Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to stab you. Just give me a second here. And he opened up the pocket knife, and that's when he used it. But then he nicked the guy right there under the armpit. And then he told the cops it was a pen, which I thought was funny because... if he had used a pen, I think he would have killed the guy because the pen is mightier than the sword, as you know.
I have heard that, wow. But I'm not sure that applies in this case. All right, so
well,
you will
you'll
be probably called as a witness then in this trial, I would imagine.
I probably will be called as a witness, but I might not remember anything if the check clears. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you're getting paid off?
I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying I'm not. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes it turns out party clowns make a pretty good living.
I see. All right. I love that you're putting your eggs in the clown basket.
Oh, well, I'd love to put my eggs in a clown basket. You're not the one who will get in a clown and go for that?
No. I don't know how this turns so ugly.
You guys there in Los Angeles? Hey, where's Bob Saget? Is he still there? I'd like to talk to him about those twins.
Nope.
They were creepy-looking kids.
All right. Look,
we children of the corn girls. Girls were.
We don't have that many thoughts on old TV.
Well, you're not in Wisconsin then, I guess.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for your time.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Talking sports with Jim Rome coming up. Then we're going to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, who will never, ever, ever, no matter how awesome something is, get on a plane and fly to it. We've got somebody here at K-Rock like that. Will never, ever fly. Seems like you miss out a lot in this world if you won't get on an airplane, doesn't it?
You know, statistically speaking, flying is the safest way to travel.
I have heard that, actually. Anyway, that's all coming up. Plus, Dr. Drew, since it's Thursday right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. John Travolta's returning to TV for the first time since Welcome Back, Kotter. Is it possible? He hasn't been on television in 35 years?
Wow. A little shocking.
It's all changing now. He's going to be in the miniseries American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. It's a 10-episode miniseries starring Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Sarah Paulson will play prosecutor Marcia Clark. Oh, I hope she gets that cool perm that Marcia had.
I'm sure she will.
Former Friends star Dave Schwimmer will be the Juice's friend and attorney Robert Kardashian, and Travolta will play Robert Shapiro. The miniseries is based on the Jeffrey Toobin's book, The Run of His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson. So.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, Bean. You have a question?
Yes, Bean, your hand is up, yes. I know he's been in 20 terrible movies, but is John Travolta a good actor?
He can be when he's well cast. Mm-hmm. He can also be embarrassing when he is poorly cast. I guess you could say that most of actors. Very few actors can be great in everything. Every once in a while you run across a Gene Hackman or a Robert Duvall or one of these guys who
Kevin
are just
Spacey.
Bulletproof, who can be in the worst film in a bad role and still not embarrass themselves. Still
they're
shine.
Somehow better than the
material.
Project.
Yeah. But that's rare. And I think Travolta is perfectly capable when he's well cast, and then sometimes wildly.
Like, obviously, Quentin Tarantino sure knows how to get a great performance out of him.
He does, yes.
Because I think about, like, Nicolas Cage, another guy that comes to mind. I mean, he won a freaking Oscar, but it seems like he's terrible in so many movies, but I feel like he can be good.
Yes.
Those are confusing actors to me.
Mmm. Bean, you're confused. Hey, you know, usually this time of year, the Super Bowl ads are all sold out, but with less than a month to go until the big game, NBC says there's still about 5% of the ads available. So I think we should get a Kevin and Bean ad in there. What do you think?
How much are they, Ralph? What are they going for?
Oh, you got about 4.4 mil lying around.
Wow.
No.
Isn't that the advertising budget here at the station for our show?
We don't...
$4.4 million? Isn't that what they spend usually on the billboards and the...
There's no billboards.
And the TV commercials.
No TV commercials.
And the flyers they hand out on the street corners.
Don't even do that. No flyers.
And the temporary henna tattoos with your faces on them that they put on people.
No advertising.
What? You know that the company that owns K-Rock also owns an outdoor billboard advertising company.
I am familiar with that.
And we don't put billboards up for Kevin and Bean.
What about the other side of
being free?
Mall maps. Weren't you going to be on the other side of a mall map?
I think they might have done that for us. That was the solid we got. I think.
Weren't you on a kiosk at the mall?
We've had a meeting about everything, and it never comes true, so whatever.
There's Kevin and Bean gravy.
Still got a lot of that in the old
We're
legally not able
space.
To give away.
Hey, look who's the face of Calvin Klein's underwear. The Biebs. Justin Bieber.
Really?
Yeah. He's the new model for Calvin Klein underwear. He's doing the old Marky Mark business.
Really?
Yeah.
Because as a guy, you look at him and go...
tidy whiteys, and you're like, he's flexing his abs and his pecs. And all. He's all tatted up, man, looking smoldering into the camera, being all BB. Yeah.
Boy, it sure seems late to jump into the Bieber business, doesn't it?
It does.
That's a terrible decision.
When's the last time you heard anybody talking about a Calvin Klein underwear ad?
But are you buying it?
Am I buying their underwear?
Yeah.
No, I'm still waiting for you to give me my big underwear tip, Kevin.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
That you never sent me.
Oh, I got
Kevin's
it.
Got the inside scoop on
oh,
the best
I got
underwear.
It. Oh,
and
I have it.
He won't share it with anyone, apparently.
I have number one and a backup for you.
Well, how about a little information?
All right.
Because I'm walking around here chafing.
You're not going to buy from Bieber?
I'm not going to buy from Bieber, all no. Right. But the ads look just douchey as hell.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Some people are claiming that his abs and pecs were photoshopped to make them look
more
muscular.
He does look like a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah. Looks like the girl in the Sia video. You put a wig on him and to make him dance around. It looks like that Matty Ziegler. Speaking of Sia, big brouhaha. The video I'm talking about, the Sia video, Chandelier, you may know the song. And the video especially, it's got that Matty Ziegler, little 12-year-old dancer from Teen Moms, and she's in that blonde page boy wig, and she's dancing around. And it was a big deal. That video caught a lot of attention in 2014. Well, she's now in the new Sia video called Elastic Heart, wearing that same wig, representing Sia's inner child, I guess, once again. Now she's in a cage with Shia LaBeouf, and they're having a very violent, emotional dance-off. It's a dance-off. It's like step it up in bodysuits.
Step up.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's the way to settle most arguments, though, is with a dance-off.
I think so. Well, some people have praised the clip for its art and its emotion and the fact that Shia LaBeouf is a cannibal.
that's a different video.
Oh. Some, however, have taken to the social media networks to declare their outrage and disgust. One person tweeted, "The new Sia video is disgusting." Another, "The video would be magic if her dancing partner wasn't 30 years old, looked like a child predator."
"I want to wrestle you so freaking bad."
Yeah, a lot of people are screaming pedophilia when in reality, Sia says it simply represents two warring sides of herself trapped in the cage trying to come to some sort of some conclusion.
Where's the outrage there?
So take it for what you want, but she apologizes if anyone feels that...
Did you bring condoms?
It was inappropriate.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Chris right. Hansen.
I could probably teach you a few things.
All right, let's just... Now we...
I will go till you tell me to stop.
Stop.
The 22-year-old virgin is in the house.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Rachel Nichols is 35 years old today. Actress Sarah Pauly celebrates her 36th birthday. Jenny Lewis, the singer, is 39. Is that Bleeding Love? That girl? Oh, that was
no,
Leona
that's
Lewis.
That's Leona. Yeah.
Who's Jenny Lewis? What's she sing?
Who is she?
Quick, give me a hit.
She was the lead singer of Rilo Kiley. She had a couple of very successful solo albums since then, but hits per se.
This is probably her biggest hit.
Oh, now I know her. That was a song. song.
That's
remember
a smash.
In the good old days when songs were songs? Not this, oh, hey, Geronimo. Yell Geronimo. No, none of that crap. Chinese food. Now, that's a song.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus artist.
Right.
I'm a hamster.
Am I
anywhere to do the wheel?
Put me on the wheel, big smelly hand. That's a song. R. Kelly's 48 years old today. Speaking of songs, R. Kelly, trapped in the mother effing closet. How about it?
Do we have time to just revisit some older Trapped in the Closet just for a couple of seconds?
Do we have time?
Oh, my God.
What else would we do?
Pastor Rufus Long comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta.
Uh-oh.
Then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, sh**. And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. Oh, sh**. Then he got to his house, bust up in it, to find his
Let me know, I got another 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Around with this sausage, it is policeman. And then they got into a fight. Wrestling over a gun.
What about the midget?
Stop. Next thing you know, they shot her brother.
Where's Bridget and the midget?
He was barely hurt. Now here come Rose, the nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood savior. And then things got real twisted. Police got home in his kitchen to find his wife Bridget is pregnant by this midget.
Yeah, now we're talking.
That was real.
Where are you, Chuck?
I do feel like we're due some new chapters.
He promised us. He promised us some new chapters.
That's the best.
Smart dude Stephen Hawking celebrates his 73rd birthday today, and singer David Bowie is 68 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings, right about this time each week, we check in with our good friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on The Beast, 980 AM here in Southern California and on 240 great radio stations nationwide. Look for him on the TV on CBS Sports Network at 3 and Jim Rome on Showtime every month. Mr. Rome, Happy New Year. Welcome back, sir.
Kevin, Bean, what's up, fellas? Happy New Year. Good to be back.
I think I am Team Rome and not Team Marching Band, by the way, before we get started on the topics of the day.
Is that a ruling?
Are you Team Rome?
I think I'm Team Rome. I think I'm with you. I think, look, be proud of being in a marching band if you want. Enjoy it. Get out there. Live your life. But you're still a dork. That's what I say.
Guys, Team Marching Band was not happy with Team Rome at all, you know, in case you missed it.
But how much heat can Team Marching Band bring?
Come to find out, a hell of a lot.
Really? Turns out there are a lot of band geeks out there. Is that what you found out?
Oh, no. The band army is huge. Team band is large, huge, proud. They mobilize quickly. They got after it now.
Well, you know what I think is funny, Jim, and I was thinking about this as it unfolded, is it's not like you're walking around with a vendetta against guys who play instruments. You probably are fine with that. But you watch so many bowl games that there has to come a point where you've just seen one too many marching bands. I think that's where you snapped, sir.
Can I tell you, my 9-year-old plays the violin, all right? So I'm not against instruments. I'm not against bands. I'm not against funding for bands. And can I say for the record once again, I do not condone bullying on any level. I cracked a joke that Team Band did not think was very funny. And by the way, if it hit people the wrong way, I'm sorry for that. But I do not condone bullying of any sort, and I am pro-instrument.
Of course. No one, I don't think anyone seriously thought there was malice there. Look, that's what Twitter is for, is to make jokes about things that you see on TV.
Oh, right. No, they thought there was. They thought there was, but you're right.
Moving on. Did you happen to get the UFC fight this past weekend to see yet another title defense from the great coked-up Jon Jones?
Wow. Yeah, that really was something. I'm pro Jon Jones. I like the guy quite a bit, but testing positive for the booger sugar before the biggest fight of his career? I mean, we're not even talking about a roid, guys. We're not talking about PED to give him an edge. We're talking about the Bolivian marching powder, not exactly body as temple. So the guy fought a great fight, but then come to find out he was tooting up blow before the fight. So I find it pretty hard to believe. He's got an image problem, apparently a drug problem. He's got to get right before the nose candy knocks him out.
How did it come down to you? Because I heard you had him lined up for an interview, and then it was bumped. I heard you saying, oh, we're going to try and reschedule it. At what point did
they... Yeah, it's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we checked the fight over the weekend, and then Monday he's booked to come on the show, and he doesn't do the show, which is kind of unusual because he's always done that. And the UFC is really good about setting their guys up and getting them ready to do the show.
Absolutely.
And it's coming back to me on Monday that we can't find him, we can't find him. I'm like, that's really bizarre, but no big thing. It happens. We'll reschedule. And they say he'll do it on Wednesday, and then before we get to that point, we find out he's already in rehab. So, you know, he had heard whispers that maybe something was on. It didn't feel right, and then come to find out it wasn't. So it wasn't that surprising.
Now, I know that cocaine was not one of the banned substances, so it didn't really have any impact on the outcome of the fight. But is that the type of thing that would detract from him being an even better fighter? I mean, does that work against him taking cocaine, Jim, as an athlete?
I can't imagine it helps him. I can't imagine cocaine's going to make him better. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's supposed to be the Michael Jordan of MMA, a guy who can cross over. He's not that if he's getting DUIs and he's annihilating the California cornflakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got to get help and he's got to get right. No, it's not going to make him a better fighter, but it didn't stop him from winning that fight either.
But you know what? The test that he took was like a month earlier, right? It was
exactly.
Nowhere near
the test was
fight.
On December 4th. No, and that's their argument, and they let him fight. A lot of people were saying, man, how do you let that guy fight? I mean, if the guy's lining up the marching powder, how is it that he fought? Well, the fact of the matter is he did a recreational drug, quote, out of competition, and the rules state that he can still fight. And when you consider how big of a draw he is and how big of a name he is, I mean, let's get real. Are they not going to let that guy fight?
Yeah.
Not if the rules say that he can fight. So they went through with it. It was a huge promotion, and he did what he had to do. But the second it was over, the guy was in rehab, and he should be. He needs help.
We're talking to our friend Jim Rome now from the Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on 980 AM, The Beast in Southern California. Obviously, it's another huge NFL weekend. Before we talk about a couple of the games, Jim, I want to know what your read is on what seems to be a very positive step toward a team for reals this time coming to L.A.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've talked about this so many times, and every time you hear it, that we've got the right ownership group, we've got the right stadium, we've got the right land, it's going to happen, and it never happens.
Yeah.
But the way it's set up right now, it looks like it could happen, because this time you really do have the right owner in Kroenke. He's an existing owner. The guy's got more money than God, and he's got the real estate, he's got the wherewithal, and he's got the desire. Now, normally when I hear a team is coming to L.A., I know it's another team looking to jam up their own city and use this as leverage. This time, though, it could really possibly happen, and maybe as soon as 2016. This might be the one.
This has to have an owner's vote, though, right? And the owners are the ones in the league that have used Los Angeles to get a new stadium or a better deal or whatever their situation is. Does that affect
exactly
you?
Right. I mean, that is right. I think they've gotten more out of having L.A. as leverage as they would more than having a team actually here in L.A. But I think you finally come to a point right now that if you've got the right guy at the right time, you can still have both things. For instance, if they build a stadium in Hollywood Park, they could have two teams there, or they could put one team there and always have the threat of a second team being there, so they've still got that hammer. But you're right.
Smart.
They've always used that thing as leverage. Now, guys, what's really interesting to me is, who in L.A. wants the NFL? I know the NFL may want L.A., but who in L.A. wants the NFL? We use football totally differently here. We don't need a team. We like it the way it is. We watch the games at home. We go to our sports bar. Who wants to deal with traffic on Sunday morning? I mean, it sounds like I'm being flip, but the fact is, the next person who comes to me and says, hey, Rome, I really want the NFL to come back, will be the first, and that's no lie. Seriously. Nobody seems to want it.
I kind of agree with you. Look, we're all living our lives fine and enjoying the NFL without a team in Los Angeles. There's still plenty for us to watch and do.
It's perfect. You tell me what's better. And unless you're a diehard in a diehard town, and look, I'm an L.A. native. I was born in this town. I love this town. It's not the best sports town. We kind of like it the way it is. Do you want to go to the stadium and pay all that money for a ticket and parking and a $15 beer and wait in line to use the restroom? Or do you want to stay home and check it all out on your big, fat flat screen, pay for your beers, wait, have no wait in line for the bathroom, and if you put on the enemy colors, not worry about somebody going upside your head. I mean, it's just different.
Yeah.
L.A. is different the way we use football.
Right, I totally agree. I say red zone for the win is what I say on that case, man. If you're laid out those two scenarios
for that's me. What I'm saying.
Let's talk about the NFL playoffs. I want to ask you kind of an overall question. We have, what, 8 teams left. Are they all pretty much equal physically? And it just comes down to the mental game and momentum?
Wow, dude, that's pretty heady stuff.
Thank you. I don't know the answer. That's why I asked.
You should be proud of that question. Yeah, I would say no. I would say no, and here's why. This time of year, you know what it comes down to? Often it's not the best team. It's the hottest team. And if it's not the hottest team, it's the healthiest team. These guys are so busted up and they're so banged up that, yeah, physically it really makes a difference. For instance, You've got Green Bay. I don't think anybody would doubt that Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in the NFL. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. But he's busted up. He's got a bad calf. That game against Dallas is literally going to turn on what the guy can and cannot do on that calf. So a lot of it is mental, but this time of year, it's about who's physically the healthiest. Seattle's gotten healthy. Green Bay's a little bit banged up. I think you've got to have your key guys in the right place physically to do what they do.
I love this weekend so much. I mean, of course, you love to watch the Patriots. You love to watch the Seahawks. You love to watch the Broncos. But this Cowboys-Packers game that you mentioned, Jim, I mean, the Cowboys have not lost on the road this whole year. The Packers have not lost at home this whole year. That never happens in the playoffs. I mean, this one's too close to call, but I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's really strange. I mean, something's got to give. The Packers are 8-0 at home. Dallas is 8-0 on the road. Aaron Rodgers, as I mentioned, is the guy you got to look at. I mean, the question is, how bad is that calf injury? He has not practiced. He might today, but he hasn't practiced since the final game of the year. I don't think he's a guy that needs a lot of practice because he's that good. I think that if he's right and he can do what he normally does, honestly, I don't think it's going to be as close as you think. I think they'll roll. I think Green Bay will roll if Rodgers is right. Now, if he can't do what he does, Dallas can give them all they can handle. But if he is, I think they'll smash them up.
I have not looked ahead toward the weather, but I know they're having the zero-degree thing happening in Wisconsin right now. If that continues, that has to be a real advantage for the Packers, too, I would imagine.
No doubt. No doubt. Right. That's where those guys live. That's what those guys do.
I saw Aaron in an interview say, I hope it's as cold as possible.
Really? Doesn't that just sound miserable, though? But I guess not for those guys.
It gives them an edge. Whatever edge, you know? Whatever
that
you
makes
get.
A lot of sense. All right. I hate that we have to leave it there. So much great stuff to talk about, but you'll hear it long form from 9 till noon. 3 big hours on AM 980. That's the Beast. Jim Rome, Happy New Year, man. Thanks so much for coming on. We enjoyed it.
Happy New Year, fellas. Thanks for having me back. You guys are the best.
You bet. Thank you. Congratulations to Susanna Garcia from Orange. Just got tickets, VIP two-day tickets to Shaun White's Air and Style. February 21 and 22 at the Rose Bowl, and a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. Go to krock.com for more details.
That is a sweet deal. Your chance to win coming up. L.A. is not a great sports town, writes in Kevin to Bean listener Adam. Dodgers, number one in attendance for decades. Kings, excellent attendance for years, even before the Stanley Cups. Lakers, needless to say. Trojans, Bruins, excellent attendance. What makes Rome think we won't attend a football game? What do you think, Kevin? Would you go to a football game if we had a football team?
I probably would, but you know, I'm a Cardinals fan because I'm from there. So
Everybody here has a team, right? Yes. At this point, I guess.
But I would probably go, depending on the team that's coming into town. It would be fun to watch live NFL.
Yeah. It does seem like it does seem like we're closer than we have been in a long, long time to that actually being a reality. So we'll see what happens. Adam, thanks so much for listening and thanks for writing. So yesterday we talked to a coworker who would not come on the air with us, which is fine. It's certainly his right. But he gave us permission to share his story. He's a guy, a young guy. What would you say he is? Probably his 30s, probably?
Yeah.
Early 30s, maybe. Yeah, maybe 30. Will not get on a plane. Will not fly. And I asked him, I said, what if something happens? Like in New York or in London or in Cabo or Hawaii or something like that all your friends are going to, your family, you want to see, would be fun, great time, couple of hours, you're there. No, will not fly, absolutely. So the first thing that crossed my mind is maybe this is like a Travis Barker situation where you were fortunate enough to walk away from a plane crash. I don't blame that guy for never getting back on a plane again.
Right, because it's traumatizing.
Yeah. It's absolutely traumatizing. That is sheer panic and sheer terror to put yourself through what went through your brain when that plane went down the first time. I understand that.
But let me point out, he has.
Yes. Having used Travis as an example, yes, he still flies. He doesn't love it, but he'll do it when he needs to because he knows, as we all do rationally, you know, regardless of what happens with Malaysia Air every other month, flying's still pretty safe. And millions of us fly every single day and don't crash and don't get hurt.
A lot of people don't like it, but you just do it.
Right. But you just do it. He absolutely will not fly. Now, that's a surprise to me.
As you can imagine, we were throwing every scenario at him that we could think of. Family member, they live here. Okay. wedding someplace. Nope. Just wouldn't go.
So we asked him, so no near fatal crash in a plane? No. He said the only story that he shared with us is that when he was a little kid, he didn't want to get on a plane to go on vacation with his family to Hawaii, and his mom made him. And it sounded to me like he said that was the last time he ever flew and the last time he would ever be bullied into flying. Because he was a little kid, he had no choice. His family made him go. But he apparently hated it, was terrified.
Nothing bad happened. You know what happened? He was in Hawaii.
He was in Hawaii.
How bad is that?
What's the downside of that? So we got to thinking, A, are there other people like that who don't have any reason that makes sense that will not fly. We can't talk to this guy on the air, but we'd love to talk to you on the air if you've got that at 1-800-520-1067. You absolutely just will not get on a plane. Or if you have something else in your life that is crazy common that everybody else does, but you won't do it.
Like driving a car.
Like driving a car. By the way, I have a friend like that.
You do?
She's afraid. She's 40.
Wow.
She is afraid of driving a car. She absolutely says, it looks too scary for me. I won't do it.
That's weird.
I know. It is.
Especially in this city.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's almost impossible.
So whether it's I won't drive a car or I won't get on a plane or I won't ride a bike, whatever it is, it's something that everybody else, no one else is afraid of. No one else lets that fear stop them from doing it, but you do. We want to hear your story because I am fascinated by that. So 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next right here on K-Rock.
Apparently we've been corrected. Travis Barker does not fly.
He still doesn't.
Oh, I thought he did once in a while.
Having said that, we don't blame him. We're talking about people who haven't had any traumatic experience.
Right.
Like a friend of ours who will not, under any circumstances, fly and didn't have that trauma.
Right. Exactly.
That's
the worst
weird.
Thing that ever happened to him is his parents forced him on a plane when he was a kid to go on vacation to Hawaii. My takeaway from that story is get on more planes. Good stuff happens when you do.
You ended up in Hawaii.
David writes in, we're talking about irrational fears. We'll go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Mike on line one, you hang on. We'll get to you first. David writes in, my ex-wife was deadly afraid of bridges. She is afraid of falling off a bridge. Several times she stopped on a bridge because she was so afraid. I would tell her she was going to make her nightmare a reality if she continued to do that. I don't know how – it doesn't say here how that got started, but she just got paralyzed with fear when it came time to cross a bridge because she envisioned something bad was going to happen to her.
How does stopping in the middle of a bridge do anything but make that worse?
Yeah, that's true.
It certainly adds to the amount of time you spend on the bridge, doesn't it? All right. Let's see what Mike's got going on. Let's find out what Mike won't do. He's in Long Beach on line one.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Mike, you sound like a defeated, broken man.
So everybody else does what? And you won't because you're afraid.
I don't eat popcorn.
You don't eat popcorn?
I won't eat it.
Okay. We'll bite. How come?
Well, the last time I ate it, I was 12. So it's like 20 years ago.
Right.
I thought that, I choked and then I was okay. But then about a week later, I felt like there was an unpopped kernel still in my esophagus. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid that I would bleed internally and die.
Did you?
No, but I won't do it now.
It ain't the popcorn!
It's been 20 years. If that piece of popcorn was going to kill you, it would have killed you already.
But the point is, here's what's weird, Mike, is that fear, what you were afraid of, didn't happen.
But it could. Right.
But couldn't it happen for any food you eat? It could happen with cereal. It could happen with steak. It could happen with a burrito. You could choke on anything.
How sharp an unpopped kernel is.
Yeah.
It's sharp, And your esophagus is so, fragile.
Right. Let me ask you this question then, Mike.
Sure.
Where are all the stories about the people who are choking on popcorn? Why don't I ever see them in the news? Millions of people eat popcorn every single day in this country. Why am I not seeing the stories about the ones who die on it?
But when someone does die of it, you will hear about it.
Yeah. You've been waiting 20 years for it.
All right, Mike. Well, good luck with that. Have fun.
Thanks for the call.
I wouldn't even go to the movies if I couldn't eat popcorn, by the way. That's half the experience. Let's go to Lisa. She's in Fountain Valley on line four. This is crazy.
Hey,
this
Lisa.
Is crazy.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Lisa. What is it? Everybody else does it, but you're afraid of it. What is it?
I won't go on escalators.
You won't go on an escalator?
Nope. And if I did, I'd be more likely to go up, but I will not go down. And I actually don't do either anymore.
What's happening? Who hurt you?
Did you have a problem?
It wasn't an escalator, no. I just have a fear of losing my balance or falling. And the people that are in the airports with, their luggage on them kill me. I would never do that.
But
I
you
wouldn't
did...
even do it just standing with nothing. I just won't do it.
Okay, but you never fell and you never had a traumatic event. When you were a kid, your coat didn't get caught. Nothing.
Nope.
Now, I have to say, in Lisa's defense, unlike the guy who was afraid of choking on popcorn, this does happen. once in a while, you'll see somebody, like you mentioned, Kevin, you get your coat or your scarf or your pant leg or something like that caught in the escalator and you fall down, you get strangled. And it does happen from time to time. It's incredibly rare. You think that would happen to you if you tried to ride one, Lisa?
Oh, I don't think anything would get stuck. I would just be like, I feel like the whole thing's going forward. I'm going, like, I just feel like I'm going to fall. I don't know. And I haven't always been like this, but it's never going to be an issue because there's always going to be an elevator for, like, handicapped people and mothers with strollers. So I'm, like, jammed in elevators with those people all the time.
How about regular stairs? I mean, you can certainly fall backwards on regular stairs.
No, I have no problem taking the regular stairs.
That's awesome. Right there, now you're crazy.
Yes, I'll just take the stairs or whatever.
Stairs are fine.
People that I'm with a little bit.
Stairs up, stairs down, both fine.
Yeah.
I think,
all right,
and I don't have the numbers in front of me, Lisa, I think you're more likely to get injured or killed in an elevator than you are on an escalator.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Add to her problems, Bean.
All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate that. Tim is in West Covina. He's up next. He's on line three, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, I say, Lisa May, how are you?
Good.
What does everybody do that you will not?
I will not ever drink from a drinking fountain, ever. I don't care if I'm dying of thirst. I will not drink from a drinking fountain.
Because you think you'll get sick?
No. When I was a kid, I did have a little traumatic experience. When I was about 10, my best friend Mike, when I was getting a drink, we were playing a little football game, and he pushed me from behind, and I smacked my teeth on the top of the water fountain, and I lost both my teeth.
Right. So you replaced your best friend Tim. You don't replace water fountains.
No, I replaced my best friend Mike.
Mike, sorry.
But still, to this day, even as an adult, I will not drink from a drinking fountain. I'm petrified that someone's going to push me from behind.
Okay, but what if you're really thirsty and there's a drinking fountain, and then you turn around and check to see if anyone is in the area?
No.
Huh.
Ain't going to do it.
Not worth the risk.
To this day, my wife knows that story, and about 6 years ago, my wife came behind me and scared me.
Oh.
And I swear to God. I flipped. I'm not kidding you.
She did the right thing. That's awesome, dude.
No, your wife's a dick.
She did the right thing.
She's a dick.
That's awesome.
I have to say, I think Tim has a legitimate reason to be afraid of water fountains. But I think if you put Kevin's plan into effect, which is you check your surroundings before you drink the water, I think you should still be able to do it safely and survive.
I think it's just a mental block now. But yeah, my wife's dick move made it like I resorted back to being 10, and now I for sure won't do it.
I love her. Tell your wife I love her.
Thanks, Kevin. Total Kevin move right
now. Thanks for the call. One of 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Beecho at 854.
Again, a reminder, that is the band that is going to be playing the Forum Saturday night. Tickets are on sale now or are sold out? What did we find out about that?
Well, earlier they were still on sale, but we don't know. They're $50 a piece, so.
Doc is here. Doc is not here.
We don't know.
Ticketmaster.com if you want details on Foo Fighters. They are playing a charity show Saturday night. I love that they do that. I love that they just decide, hey, let's play this weekend, and then they do play the Forum.
How many bands could? Maybe three?
A tiny, tiny percentage.
Melfon? Sure.
Obviously. Melbourne, yeah.
One Direction.
Anyway, so Foo Fighters, get all the details at KROQ.com. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky right after the top of the hour about the man with two penises.
Bean would like more photos sent to his
email. No, Bean has seen enough.
Visual on that. I'd like to see. I don't believe it. I'd like to see more photos of penises.
Bean at KROQ.com.
I have seen KROQ.com.
Like more men with two penises than I ever hoped to in my whole life.
To send video and
Kevin's the one who
evidence.
Thinks it's fake. By the way, he's the one you ought to be sending the pictures to. Well, he thinks the whole thing's a hoax.
I don't base any of my opinions on fact. You know that, Bean.
So we'll see what Drew has to say about that coming up. First, though, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Marilyn Manson says he has sex with his girlfriend 5 times a day.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Wait, is he saying, like, that's his average?
Or it happened one time?
Every day?
Tells Rolling Stone magazine he has sex at least 5 times a day with his girlfriend.
Marilyn Manson is a guy who makes a lot of jokes. And he strikes me as a guy who would say that just to mess with people. What do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he likes to say things that are controversial.
I don't know. I'm not a fan. He's a big blowhard.
I love him.
I love him, too. I think he's a nice guy.
Nah, you're wrong.
He is. He's a nice guy,
no,
and he's funny.
Not.
He's neither of those.
He's funny. We like him.
He also says that he has a phobia that his house is going to catch fire, and he doesn't want to be caught naked, so he's rarely nude. He almost always has underwear on, at least.
All right.
All right.
Must be fun for his girlfriend when all the
sex
are having.
Stop asking Marilyn Manson questions. That's what I think we need to agree on as a society, because that's what you get.
Are you down on him because he thought you were a cop?
No, I'm down on him because he's totally manufactured. There's nothing genuine about the dude. He's just a big ball of hype. Always has been. Still is.
He's good at that, but I like
that's all he is good at. That's, yeah. That's what he does.
So he's Lady Gaga in Europe.
No, Gaga's got talent.
Oh, you don't think Manson has talent either?
No.
I like some of his songs.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do. And I think he's a good actor.
We all did back in the 70s, whatever it was, when anyone gave a rat's ass about what he was doing. Yeah, he's a big ball of douche. Gloria Allred brought out some more women yesterday who accused Bill Cosby of sexually abusing them. Linda Kirkpatrick, Lynn Neal, and a woman named Casey, who's just going by her first name, yesterday told their stories, and they're all pretty much what we've heard before from women who have leveled these accusations against Dr. Cosby. It involves some sort of drugged drink, and then coming to, usually with him nude or on top of them, and a sense of disorientation, and sometimes not even knowing how they got out of the situation, how they made their way home. But three additional women now adding their names to the list of women who claim that he has sexually assaulted them. Inexplicably, he did perform last night in Canada, first of three appearances at Kitchener, Ontario. There were protesters outside, but inside there were no interruptions to the show, and Cosby got a standing ovation from his fans. It's the first live show he performed since these allegations were made public. And he's scheduled to appear in Ontario again tonight. Two more shows to do, so. People are still going to see the guy. For what that's worth. Michael Keaton, his career is going full, back in full swing after that Birdman success that he's had. He is finalizing a deal to join Tom Hiddleston of Thor fame and J.K. Simmons, who's got the successful Whiplash now in theaters, to star in the new upcoming King Kong film, Kong Skull Island, which is set to be in theaters in spring of 2017. So Keaton back to making blockbusters. He was out of the limelight for a while, and now he's back in a big, big way, which is very cool. And Jared Leto wants you to know it's time for you to put your fanny pack back on. That's right, you heard me. Fanny packs are back, and Leto's got them. You go to jaredletomerch.com. You can find his $32 hip pack, as he's calling it, now available for purchase. He is seen modeling the hip pack on the front page of his website, just looking all cut up and abtastic and his hair flowing in the breeze.
Yeah, here's the thing, though.
He's dreamy. He's dreamy in that hip pack.
Right, but I put that hip pack on. I don't look like that.
Put on the hip pack. Available in red, blue, black, and gray. All kinds of designer colors for your new hip pack. It's back, people. The hip pack. See, if you call it hip pack, you don't have to say it's a fanny pack. Hey, what are you wearing there? Oh, it's a hip pack. Looks like a fanny pack. No, it's a hip pack.
Don't be an idiot.
Don't be a dope. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Rachel Nichols is 35 years old today. Actress Sarah Polley turns 36. Jenny Lewis, the singer, is 39 years old. R. Kelly, 48 years old today. Legendary singer David Bowie turned 68 years old, and Stephen Hawking is a spry 73 years old today. Got up in the morning, takes a big roll, get some fresh air, kick off the day right. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Great news, you guys.
Great news.
Dr. Drew is getting some work.
Oh, thank God.
Finally. Well, you know, he's already doing the nighttime HLN show every night at 6, right? And he's also got Love Line on K-Rock Late Nights. Also doing a whole bunch of podcasts during the day. Well, he's picked up another radio show that it's going to be debuting later this month with our good friend Mike Catherwood over on KABC. So two radio shows, a TV, multiple podcasts, and I assume at some point, Dr. Drew, you'll see some patients too?
I do see patients and maybe even see my family. Would that be nice?
I don't think you're going to do either.
Who could resist spending a few more hours with Mike Catherwood? Now, come on.
What are you doing, Drew? How is it? Is there a point at which enough is enough? I feel like at some point a doctor needs to diagnose you with something so that you slow the F down.
Is this some kind of intervention? Dude, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me.
We've all come here and we've all written you a note.
That's right. We want you to know how you've heard us. Exactly. Well, congratulations, I guess, Drew. Good luck with that,
Thank you, first of all.
And second of all, I was so intrigued by one of your guests this week on the HLN show, and I know you had a lot of fun with it, but it's a fascinating topic, and that is the man with two penises. Now, please tell folks up front, this is for reals, right?
Well, I don't know for sure if that guy is for real because he's been very clandestine about everything, but the condition is for real. It's called diphalia. It's very rare. It's basically a disorder of the development of the midline tissues, so it's associated with a lot of different abnormalities. It's exceedingly rare. It's about one in maybe 6 million births, and people... You know, I can tell you all the different things. I'm sure Kevin will like all these different medical anomalies.
You can have
two bladder systems, so things function completely normally. It's associated with even spinal abnormalities, so the spine doesn't close normally, so you get spina bifida. You can have two anal perforations or no anal perforation, an imperforate anus. I know you guys, you've never...
We're playing Coachella.
Imperforate anus is very good, man.
Just announced.
Imperforate anus.
So every once in a while, something goes haywire and you end up with an extra body part. We've all seen people with like six toes on a foot and things like that. But so you're not sure about this guy that was on who's written a book about his two penises. You're not sure if he was real. You didn't examine him.
No, I didn't examine him, but I spoke with him. He seemed very knowledgeable, and he had two complete and truly functional in all respects 8-inch penises.
Okay, now that's our question, is both perfectly fine working condition.
So he says.
Is that something that exists?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
And it's heard of. I actually called Dr. Gary Alter, who's one of the only urologists who's also board certified in plastic surgery. And he confirmed, he goes, these things happen. He'd never seen it. He'd heard of it. He'd read of it. He'd never. And of course, you know, we do this after show on our Facebook page at HLM. And we have, you know, some of the panelists that you guys like so much.
Your supermodel panelists.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. The psychologists. And they were fascinated with how he used them. Can you use them at the same time?
Uh-huh.
Does one go here, one go there? And he basically was very creative with how he did his thing. Everything was working, allegedly.
His book should be called One Goes Here, One Goes There.
Why do you think he – like there's a guy who's going around who also has a book out that we've talked to on this show too, the guy who has the 13-and-a-half-inch penis. And he's very public about that. Why do you suppose this guy is choosing to go the anonymous route?
He claims that the whole thing was something he didn't seek. It all came after a conversation or an Ask Me Anything he did on Reddit, an AMA. And that all this social media action he's had, he actually doesn't want. He didn't want it. He felt that his current partners would be outed by it. His family would be outed. He didn't want to do that to them.
Why did he do the AMA then?
Exactly. He was a smart guy. He had lots of good reasons, although they were all a little, just the way Kevin raised here, a little suspect. Well, why did you go out there in the first place then? Listen, he would talk to you guys, I'm sure. He's a very articulate, very smart guy, and has lots of good answers.
I was a little put off by his claiming that he slept with 1,000 people.
That was the other thing, yeah. And there are many different aspects of his thing. First of all, if there are 1,000 people out there who have seen that, speak up, anybody.
Yeah,
let us
exactly.
Hear about it.
Exactly.
And he said on your show there's no photo of his... of his face with it, with them, so that...
If you consider how young people photograph their stuff quite liberally these days, you think that would be a guy that would be putting stuff out there.
So if he's had sex with 1,000 people, you're telling me no one got a picture? I don't buy it, sir.
Not only no one got a picture, but no one is raising their hand and going, yeah, saw it, yeah, it's real. And he conveniently is bisexual, and to me, that was the craziest thing. It's like, really, we doing... both at once here? What does that mean? What is he bisexual too? And then if it's 1,000 people, now we're talking about sex addiction. Now, however, that kind of made sense to me because he described to me a bunch of different sort of kind of plastic procedures he'd had done during childhood. And I thought, well, if people were operating your junk all through childhood, that could be sort of traumatizing and that can kind of predispose to sexual addictions. So maybe the sex addict, but there's too many just so aspects of the case.
Would his sex addiction be twice as bad as someone else's?
Yes.
I don't mean to laugh.
Was your feeling, when you were talking to the harem on the show the other night, was your feeling that if they could be with a guy with two penises, they would be, Drew, or would they be frightened by that?
Wow, Wow, there's a lot packed into that question.
Yes,
there
is.
First of all, let me explain to the audience what Bean means by the harem. I think he's talking about my board-certified professionals that I have on my HLN program.
That are right, all supermodels.
They're all hired because of how smart they are. We got that.
And they did not. They did. Sam, my co-host, Samantha Chalker, seemed a little interested in the fact that he could had multiple uses simultaneously. But the rest of them were recoiled.
Here's my take on that. He said he had sex with 1,000 people. I would imagine that people would be interested, but I also would imagine that it's sort of a deal breaker once you've seen it. Peace out.
Yes, you would think, right?
And
we're, again, raise your hand, everybody. Anybody who's that guy, that or that woman, right? We got both sides.
Yeah, sure. Right. Anybody that's had sex with that guy.
And then one of my harem being asked the question: do you ever put both in simultaneously? And that answer was yes. That was kind of weird.
All right, now my head is spinning. That's the book is called Doubleheader: My Life with Two Penises. If you want to check it out and find some more about it. All right, last question, Dr. Drew, and that is. And you've got a pretty good BS detector. You've talked to thousands and thousands of people on the radio and television over the years. If you had to put a percentage on it, what percentage of you thinks that this guy is telling the truth?
Three quarters of me, I'd say.
Wow.
75?
More on the truth side. I have a little skeptical, like, but he talks a good game.
Okay.
And you guys should get him. He'll talk to you. He doesn't sound defensive. He just has an answer for everything, and it's pretty hard to, when 10 people are firing away at you, it's hard to have.
I thought about asking him to come on, but it would be 5 minutes of Kevin basically saying to that guy, nuh-uh. That would be the interview, you know?
How dare you?
All right, Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood starts on KABC on the 20th. That's AM 790. Of course, Love Line, still here on K-Rock, Sunday through Thursday nights on K-Rock with Mike Catherwood as well. And Dr. Drew on Call airs Monday through Thursday at HLN. We appreciate you squeezing us in now more than ever, Dr. Drew. Thanks for the time, sir, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Who do you think came up with the first moment with
you.
Of the year?
You.
Oh, it has to be Kevin.
You.
First moment of 2015.
You.
Look,
Kevin.
We're four
you.
Days in. You should have half a dozen moments with by now.
You. You.
First moment with.
You.
2015.
You.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
SCE presents a safety tip.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
What was it you were trying to say?
It was tip.
Safety tip.
I think I said tick.
I don't think you've ever said it right.
I don't think any words came out that were actual words.
It was actually much longer than that. It felt much longer.
Oh, it was.
Now safety.
And now a moment with Lisa May.
SCE presents a safety pit. Tick.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
You said pick and then tick.
Safety parent.
I love it when
Give
it's someone
time,
else.
I can do better.
So if the season ended today,
that's right.
Lisa would be the undisputed moments with champion on the Kevin DeBean Show.
She would own the top 10.
All right. Hey, 9:36, time for our final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Would she own the top 10, Kevin?
She would, with that one.
I own it.
With that one,
that's how it works.
She would.
It would be
it
1 through 10.
That would be all 10.
If the season
one
ended today,
would
Ralph.
Become 10.
Yeah.
Lisa May, standing O, standing O.
Miley Cyrus is oversharing again. First, she won't put her nipples away. Now this. She got a bad nosebleed the other day and thought that was Instagram-worthy, so she immediately posted a photo of herself of just blood running down her face and all over her hands.
Ew.
Stop it! Stop it!
Stop doing that.
Stop being everywhere and showing everything.
Stop seeking attention!
Thank you. Speaking of seeking attention, Calvin Klein unveiled their new underwear model. This week, he's Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Some people are calling out the ads for being photoshopped, saying they darkened up some of the lines on his abs and pecs to make him look more muscly.
Yeah, because he's not muscly.
No.
We've seen 1,000 pictures of him in the last 2 years.
He is the definition of scrawn, if that's a word.
He's scrawn.
He is scrawn.
Sure.
Also, some people are saying... the crotchal region may be padded in his undies.
If that is supposed to make guys want to buy underwear, is that going to work?
Ah, good point.
Because I can't imagine.
Good point.
That's what they're
Maybe
doing.
Maybe they're reaching out to the young lesbian market.
His peers?
Oh, weird. While we're talking fashion, Jared Leto wants you to buy his new hip pack. What's a hip pack, you might ask? Well, it's a fanny pack. But on his website, jaredletomerch.com, it's positioned as the hip pack. But it's totally a fanny pack.
Yeah. Way. But he's Jared Leto, so he can wear anything and look fine.
Now, do you want to talk some abs? Oh, baby. Oh, Leto's just topless. He's just modeling his hip pack. His hair is just spectacular. God, he's beautiful. You can buy his hip pack for $32. It's available in red, blue, black, and gray. So, something for every occasion.
If I spend $32 on that hip pack, will it make me look like that photo?
Yes, you look exactly like that.
I'll get it.
Someone else is dreamy. Matt Bomer.
He is dreamy.
He is super dreamy. You know him from USA Network's White Collar, which is now gone.
Love him on that.
Got a lot of critical acclaim for his performance in The Normal Heart on HBO. Now, as just been announced, he has been cast as Montgomery Clift in the legend about the... In the film, rather, about the legendary film star Montgomery Clift, called Monty Clift, the name of the film. It'll be on HBO, and it'll be about his life and times and his struggle with his sexuality and his famous friendship with Elizabeth Taylor. So, not a lot of people remember Montgomery Clift.
I don't know the name.
He was a massive movie star back in the day. He was known as a great beauty, just a beautiful man, just handsome as heck. Right. Very emotional actor. Then he was a bad drinker, got into a car crash, which pretty much disfigured his face, and it caused him to slip into deep depression and further alcoholism, and also sort of cost him his film career.
Wow. So it's comedy?
Yeah, it's an upper. You'll have a good time. And you guys watching The Celebrity Apprentice?
No, I've not checked it out.
Oh, I caught up. I'm all caught up.
Are you? Your buddy's on it, right?
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas is one of the contestants this year. And
how many episodes are we behind?
Sunday was the big premiere. It was a two-hour premiere. And then Monday, they had another two-hour show. No, an hour show, maybe. No, maybe a two-hour show.
He's got that kind of time.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I'm all caught up. So I've seen the two episodes. And first of all, here's the thing. Geraldo Rivera, biggest dick ever.
Is he really?
Really?
Huge dick.
That's not a complete surprise.
Massive dick.
Has or is?
Mythical proportions.
Okay.
Of a douchebag. Could not be more of an a-hole.
What are you saying?
Ian Ziering? Way cool dude. Very cool. And T.O. Terrell Owens is coming off very well in this show. Surprisingly. You know, I hate the guy.
Yeah, because but he seems like this.
He seems grounded and sort of humble and hardworking.
What?
Stunned. Anyway, it's good this season. The reason I bring it up is because Kate Gosselin's on the show also. Boy, is she annoying.
Ooh.
But word is she's got a brand new boyfriend. She is dating Jeff Prescott. He is a 51-year-old divorced dad of three who is the COO of a company called Dreamstein and apparently is a multimillionaire. How pissed off is John right now as he's hammering shingles onto a roof or whatever he's doing?
That's, what was that, John and Kate plus eight?
Plus eight, yeah. That was their famous show, yeah. She's super annoying. And they got two Beverly Hills housewives, but housewives from some city someplace on the show, and they're super annoying.
Hmm.
And Keisha Nipolium, the Rudy Cox Huxtable,
right. Uh-huh.
She's already booted. She's gone. Gilbert Godfrey got the boot. Felt bad for him. They're trying to sell frozen food, and he's in front of, like, the CEO of the company. He's like, oh, I have two kids, which shows that look at me, I had sex with a woman twice. And the guy's like, shock on his face. It did not look like he was registering well with him. Did not fare well in that challenge. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Rachel Nichols is 35 years old today. Actress Sarah Polley turns 36. Jenny Lewis is 39. Singer R. Kelly turns 48. Stephen Hawking, smartest dude in the planet, 73 years old today. And singer David Bowie is pretty goddamn cool. He's 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Eller Coltrane will be in the studio talking about Boyhood. We also have a brand new internet roundup. We have Michael Snyder from TV Guide talking about
Fruitcake!
The Golden Globe
Awards.
What
you cooking?
That's Fred. That's Fred Snyder.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, different Snyder. Maggie Grace will be on the show tomorrow. Taken Three. And RJ Bell from Las Vegas talking about the weekend's football and the movie beat as it's Friday. We'll see you then.